In recent years, I have to confess my Advent attitude has been particularly impatient. I used to love O Come Emmanuel as this pleasant earworm that would guide me through these next weeks. But right now, I only hear its insistence. What used to sound so poetic, O Come Emmanuel, I now hear as, Lord, get here already. And to be clear, this is not because I still entertain the eager anticipation of American Christmas mornings with all the pomp and circumstance of new consumption, at least not in the ways that I used to. No, now the impatience springs from what I can only call exhaustion, an unwillingness to deal with and confront the seemingly daily tragedies of this world. News used to stir a reaction in me, sometimes panic, sometimes hope. But now I receive it like a bucket of water poured out on an already soaked and frankly irritable spirit. It's a stale characterization of 21st century American life to talk about middle class existence being this existential dis-ease that comes with economic stability and perceived powerlessness in the face of global dismay. It's a stale characterization, but my goodness, if it's not true for us these days. If you're like me, we feel woe-weary and simultaneously implicated by our insulation from the harsh realities that plague so many, harsh realities that, if we're honest, undergird the lives that we get to live. That's hard to shake, and it's tragic the ways that we're intertwined. And so I am impatient because I want God to come back and set things right. And I don't think I have the patience myself to wait for our participation in it. And then Peter comes along this Sunday. And somehow, miraculously, he disturbs that usual cycle for me. And we'll see if he does the same for you. In sparse language, Peter is addressing God's apparent delay. As you know, those traveling with Jesus were pretty convinced that it wouldn't be too long before he came back. And so, what would have been easy, relatively speaking, to live a life of radical following of that disturbing spirit, the ways in which they organized a very new kind of community, all of that which was easy if Jesus was coming again tomorrow was starting to get really complicated, and they began to wonder, is Jesus actually coming back at all? Is what we've waited for going to elude us? So they struggled. They struggled, as I think we do, to stay ahead of the dismay that life, whether ancient or modern, can bring. And they began to doubt and to fear and to check out. So Peter wants to assure them, my friends, God is not slow about his promises, at least not as some people think of slow. No, instead, Peter wants them to know that in the waiting, we are actually experiencing God's grace. Strange as it seems, because God is making way for something new as we wait. Salvation. Now, surely Peter's message has some evangelical impulse, that God has given us time to go out and share this abundant, strange life that we've been brought into through baptism. But it's interesting that this letter that Peter writes is not for the sake of sharing the gospel, at least so explicitly. Instead, Peter is concerned with the salvation of those who are already a part of the faithful, those who are already in the church. What could that possibly mean? That Peter wants to give them hope for their salvation even as they live the lives of baptized Christians. mean, after all, Peter knows that holiness does save, just not our holiness. Faithfulness has saved us, but not ours. It's Jesus's. So why, when the salvation of the world does not depend on any human's activity save Jesus's, does Peter seem so preoccupied with holiness and righteousness and godliness? The very words we heard echoed in today's psalm, too. Holiness, godliness, righteousness. I don't know about you, but for me, those words carry a certain burden, kind of deflating. Often they get tossed into the waste bin of works righteousness or self-concerned piety. Unless you hear judgment in that evaluation, I totally get that, because more often than not, I have heard those words used as weapons for morality to be used against us for shame and for guilt. But just because some loud voices have been able to use those words does not mean they get to monopolize them. So today, as we consider what kind of salvation Peter has in store and is imagining for those who hear his letter, I think it's time for us to reimagine one word: righteousness. Maybe that word feels too moralizing to you. But see, in my 5 months here at Palmer, I have witnessed this community time and again express its concern for righteousness. And so I want us to see it for what it is. When I hear parishioners in the hallway expressing their anxiety, their concern as news reports forecast harder futures for people of color, for Native peoples, for strangers across the globe, I hear them thirsting after righteousness. When I watched a run of salmon-colored shirts pour out of these buildings last Sunday to spend time alongside the newly housed, to bake treats for Archway Academy and for the Montrose Center, or to contribute to and support refugees' urban farm ministries, I saw you pursuing righteousness. And when parishioners come into my office and ask, how can I be a part of helping with storm relief? How can I help someone who's homeless regain their identification or a job or seek sobriety? You are seeking righteousness. Because righteousness, for all of the baggage that comes with it, really is just the cultivation of habits that sustain justice-making in this world. And it's not some kind of abstract justice. It's a strange, upside-down justice that Jesus himself made in his life. It's the kind of justice that favors the prostitute and the drug dealer. It's justice that seeks the flourishing of black and brown lives in this country. Justice that gives people way more chances than they deserve. Justice that risks our own financial plan for the liberation of others. And as if it needed to be said, that is no easy life to live. I think in part that's why Peter is responding to a community in angst, because they've come to find just how difficult following after Jesus is. And maybe too that's why righteousness so often gets individualized, because it demands a sustained life of the Spirit married with action, self-reflection alongside participation in a community that points to the ways that Jesus defines justice. But the point and the question still remains for me: what does any of that have to do with our salvation, we who are already baptized members of the church? I'm going to answer the question, but before I do, I want to name the fact that I think you all already know the answer. Because you experience the answer when you find yourself seeking righteousness in this world, the resonance of your soul with that which you're doing, the experience of some deeper satisfaction as you do good, as you seek justice, as you extend mercy. In short, you discover that Jesus wants you to live the life that is actually life, the life of joy amidst hardship that Jesus himself lived. God wants to give us the chance to join in the work God is doing. Now be clear, as Peter is, God is the one who will bring the kingdom. It is not our responsibility to bring the kingdom. But nevertheless, God gives us time to experience the joyful dance of God's coming justice here in this place, here in this world, as we seek it outside of these walls. All that I'm trying to say is maybe too obvious even to need to be said, that the mercy, the grace that God gives us in this waiting is that for we who live on the other side of Christ's ascension to heaven are given clear ways to meet Jesus out in our world, precisely in the places Jesus told us he would be, on the smelly edge of propriety, in a small group of insignificant people like his disciples were, maybe retreating in silent prayer. In each of these places, Jesus named and uncovered the death that could be dealt upon the world, and he said, "No more to that." And now, as we wait for him to come again and make all things new and good, he says, "Come and join me in that. Follow me in the way that I promise will lead to life. You might call it the way of righteousness." Amen.